Part 1. The Taking. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 8. Chapter 1. Vanderbilt University Bookstore, 2501 West End Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, Saturday, 17:30 hours, local. To one who has faith, no explanation is necessary. To one without faith, no explanation is possible, quoted Father Philip Macklin, gently tapping his index finger on the wooden tabletop.
That's easy, said the brown-eyed teenage girl sitting across from him. St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay, smarty pants, then how about this one? If the highest aim of a captain were to preserve his ship, he would keep it in port forever, he said with a dose of playful superiority.
That's the oldest trick in the book,
Corbin Worth answered.
Oh, really?
Yes, really.
Then who said it?
St. Thomas Aquinas II.
St. Thomas Aquinas II? Who's that? I only know the first one. She laughed at this, a real laugh, and by now he could tell the difference. Getting that laugh was always his goal with Corbin. He watched her shoulders sag a fraction of an inch and felt her aura change. Now she was relaxed. Now she could do the thing he had asked her here to do. It got harder for the kids with each passing year, using their gifts. And like all keepers, Philip could empathize. For most, the power faded gradually as one grew into adulthood, but not him. A couple of weeks after his 18th birthday, it had simply left him. A clean break. Very unusual, Tobias had said. That year had been the most difficult of his life. It was faith that saw him through the storm. But even now, 12 years later, there were times when the emptiness swallowed him. As hard as learning to live with the gift had been, harder because of how young he had been when it arrived, it was much harder still when it disappeared. After a decade of intimate connection to the world and the people in it, he'd tumbled into a dark pit of isolation, where only his own voice filled his head. He'd felt so utterly alone, so disconnected, paralyzed. But now when the desolation struck him, he would think of Corbin and Josh and Michaela, and one of them would always find him with a cheerful text or an unexpected phone call and rescue him from the abyss. Yes, he was their keeper, but at the same time, they were often his. When God starts us on a path, he equips us for the journey.
Ask me another one, Corbin said with a grin. But by somebody besides St. Thomas Aquinas this time?
He feigned consternation.
Okay, one more, and then we really should get back to the War of 1812. Try this one. We shall steer safely through every storm, so long as our heart is right, our intention fervent, our courage steadfast, and our trust,
he stopped mid-sentence. Corbin's expression had changed.
What is it?
He said.
She's here,
Corbin whispered.
She seems excited.
Okay. Good,
he said, hoping his calm would be infectious. Corbin was gifted, and her gift no longer frightened her, but this was something new.
How close is she?
Less than a block away, coming from the west. No, south, she said, squinting. I can't tell.
No problem. Locating is difficult, I know.
Much harder in the field,
she said, glancing around the bookstore nervously.
It's different than being in the center. There are so many distractions here, so many other voices, Father.
He admonished her with his eyes, and she quickly corrected herself.
I mean, Phil,
she said, dropping the priestly title but still using his fictitious cover name. Her cheeks flashed crimson, and she looked down at her notebook. He liked Corbin. He liked all of them, and not just because he had once been like them. This new generation was better, stronger, more attuned. At first he thought they were more adept at sifting through all the noise to find signals in a world of ever-increasing informational traffic, but it was not their proficiency with tweeting, texting, and social media that made them better. The difference was spiritual.